When the shoe's on the other foot, you might just have to wear it. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, my Vice Chairman at the Institute, fellow analyst and good friend, Chuck Michaels.
It's good to have you back with me here, my little foray all by myself on Saturday. Glad to hear your voice again.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I'll tell you, last week was an extremely trying week for me. From the point of seeing a friend of mine die in front of me of a massive coronary, to basically just being all over the state all week long, it was very tiring. And so I appreciate you stepping up to the plate, Chuck, and taking a swing at it and going solo over the weekend. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
You know, I'm here to do it.
You know, as we've been talking here and we look at things, ladies and gentlemen, and we try to bring this from a perspective of, let's look at this from both a biblical and a logical perspective. We've talked to you a lot about presuppositional apologetics, logical fallacies, biblical truth. But sometimes you see these where everything comes together in such a way that you just have to sit back and marvel at how these things tend to work out. Today's topic is really no exception, Chuck, and I know as people listen to our intro, they're kind of wondering, okay, which shoe's on which foot and why? Well, we've got a situation, Charles. There was an assault charge that was issued. This case happened in Boston about a week or so ago. It was the case of three people who attacked another person and assaulted the person. One of the defendant's attorneys was quoted, and I'll say right here, I thought it was very interesting. He said that if you beat someone up, you're guilty of assault and battery of a human being, period. The idea of trying to break down human beings into categories is doomed to failure. If that was all you saw of that article, Charles, what would you assume was happening here?
Well, obviously, we would assume that a bunch of thugs had surrounded this poor fellow and beat him up.
There's part of it right there, ladies and gentlemen. The victim of the assault that was recorded was, self-admittedly, a homosexual. So, yes, we're talking about hate crimes. Chuck, you know, you and I have said on this program before that if you commit a crime, a physical crime against someone else, you're guilty of the assault and battery of a person, period. Now, this is coming from an attorney, so it's nice to see that sometimes the things that we try to say that are logical are actually getting picked up out there. So the attorney's summoned saying, no, the idea of trying to break down human beings into categories is doomed to failure. Now, for the most part out there, most people be like, what's really special about this story? Well, Chuck, here's the kicker. The attorney is a civil liberties lawyer by the name of Harvey Silverglate, and the defendants are three women who happen to be lesbians. Here we have the shoe definitely on the other foot. We now have an assault case where three homosexual women beat up a homosexual man, and the homosexual man filed charges and claimed that they did it because of animus against his sexual orientation. In other words, a hate crime. And this has got civil liberties attorneys tied up in knots right now.
Well, predictably, Barry,
yes.
Because it simply flies in the face of the logic behind the entire idea behind hate crimes.
Well, and that's a key point. But, you know, it's interesting because I think folks who listen to our program know how we would argue what the flaw is in the logic behind hate crimes. But here's the logic of the liberal left. This is the reason why this particular crime just can't be a hate crime, according to many of them. One of the mothers of two of the defendants, Erica Stroud and Felicia Stroud, told the reporters that the attacks can't be hateful because her daughters are lesbians. So in other words, they're gay too, so it can't be hate because they're the same. And I just think that's hilarious. One of the other defendants in the case, a lady by the name of Lydia Sanford, who happens to be a domestic partner of one of these two sisters, their attorney, Helene Tomlinson, said, well, my client is openly identified as a lesbian, so any homophobic conduct is unwarranted. So one of the two other ladies, one of the Stroud sisters, her attorney, Harold Krasnow, said, and I quote, they don't know what his sexual orientation is, just like he doesn't know what theirs is. So in other words, because the defendants happen to be lesbian and the attackee happens to be gay, then no harm, no foul. We can't do a hate crime here. But Chuck, you and I both know that if you change this scenario just slightly, and
right,
if any one of those assailants happened to not come out and say that they were a homosexual of some sort, this would automatically be screaming from the rooftops a hate crime. People would be calling for the attackers to be hung out on a pike because of the animus they showed toward the poor homosexual who was assaulted. Not just because the person was another human being who originally is made in the image of God and after his likeness and has unique value and worth, but because of their sexual orientation.
Let's get down to the bottom line of what hate crimes is. It's an attempt to punish the way people think. The crime is assault and battery.
Yes, it is.
And it's assault and battery no matter who the perpetrator is and who the victim is. It is assault and battery. What this is an attempt to bind the conscience of the person doing it in such a way as to say that certain ways of thinking are not legal. Hate crime is a loaded word. It is an equivocation. It's a loaded phrase. Let's talk about what it really is, and this is a thought crime.
Thought crime, that's right. That's exactly right. It's a thought crime because what you're saying is we're going to go in and determine what you were thinking and saying your thoughts are worthy of adding time or punishment onto any crime that you actually committed. And honestly, Chuck, we're getting into the realm of horrible subjectivity here because thoughts are private. Actions are public.
That's right.
Your actions are what legislators have to legislate and create laws and punishments for. But when they start creating laws with punishments for your thoughts, they're entering into a realm where they don't even know for sure what they're doing. But I find it interesting here that some of the defense of these three women who have at least allegedly assaulted this man to the point where they broke his nose and viciously beat him, punching and kicking him after he had bumped into them with his backpack on a stairwell. Whether or not the conditions that led up to the assault were the same, because, you know, it's always a he said, she said thing.
Right.
But we have a situation here where you've got the attorneys trying to say, well, because they were all in the same category, they were all gay, then it can't be hate crime. And I thought it was hilarious, Chuck, because this article from the Boston Herald, they have a quote from the ACLU. And honestly, this is one time when I really do agree with the ACLU.
One of the few, yes.
On this one. And their staff attorney by the name of Sarah Wunsch, I guess I'm pronouncing that correctly, one of the few, says someone who is Jewish can be anti-Semitic. The mere fact that someone's a member of the same class doesn't mean they could not be motivated by hatred for their very own group. Well, what she's trying to do is she's trying to defend the hate crimes law. She does have a point because simply being in the same class with other people doesn't eliminate you from being able to and or capable of an attack upon someone in your own class. If that were the case, any male-on-male or female-on-female violence could immediately be wiped away because, well, they're in the same gender group, so therefore that can attack. But that's the whole point when we get into hate crimes law, Chuck, and you mentioned this, is now we're trying to determine, was it because you have hatred for the group or the class you're in? Was it something that some particular characteristic that set off some aggressive behavior in your mind? What was it? Let's delve in and let's get psychologists working on this for the next umpteen years. Instead of just dealing with it of you're a person, you took physical action against this person and caused them harm, therefore that harm carries a penalty, which would include jail time and a fine for doing the physical harm to the other person.
From the article.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Harvey Silvergate, who is also a quote-unquote civil liberties lawyer, with who we're not given that particular privilege to know who Mr. Silvergate is with, if anybody at all. He says, quote, "My guess is that no sane jury would convict him under these circumstances, but what is this really demonstrates is the idiocy of hate crime legislation. If you beat someone up, you're guilty of assault and battery of a human being, period. The idea of trying to break down human beings into categories is doomed to failure." You're right. He's right. And it's also racist, classist, sexist, any kind of other ist, ageist, depending on what the perpetrator looked, his age, sex. Think of a classification and that of the victim. If it's different, then anyone can make the claim, and no one can prove definitively that it had anything to do with a feeling of animosity or hatred without reading their minds. The laws are an attempt to read someone's mind. What it very often is based on is stereotypes of its own. In other words, those type of persons obviously hate this type of person because of this or that or whatever reason. And we know that because, well, we hear that on the news or here and there or wherever all the time, and therefore we know it's true. Well, what it is really an attempt to read minds without having any true psychic ability, since there is no such thing as a psychic. Pardon me out there if you're a palm reader or a card reader, but you're a phony. There is the only person who knows our thoughts is God.
Chuck, and I see, like I said, this is one of those ones that has all these folks twisted into knots, because you have a number of other civil rights attorneys who are not noted as to who they work with, if they are with the ACLU, the Public Defender's Office, Legal Aid, or whomever. But they have a quote in here, and I thought this was hilarious. Civil rights attorney Chester Darling said, "No one should go to court. It's knuckle justice. It's a fair exchange." In other words, well, you know what? If one's in the same class as the other one, then it's okay for them just to beat each other up, and we'll hit them with a little fine and let it go, because we can't charge them with a hate crime because, well, hate crimes are against heterosexuals on homosexuals, not against homosexuals on homosexuals. It's basically what they're getting down to is they're afraid to take this to the next logical step, Charles, because the point is, they cobbled this shoe together. The homosexual rights movement cobbled this shoe together for hate crimes. Now that they got to wear it.
Well, Barry, let's call it what it is. It's not a shoe. It's a Spanish boot. And if you know what a Spanish boot was, a torture device. It was an iron boot, and you put it on someone's foot, and then you boiled boiling water or boiling oil in it in order to get them to do something, tell you something that they wouldn't tell you or whatever. And this is a Spanish boot. This claim about knuckle justice. In other words, what they're saying is it's okay to beat someone up if their motivation is pure while they're assaulting you. It's okay to turn around and beat. Now, I happen to agree that if someone punches me in the street, then I'm perfectly legally justified in punching them right back. But I don't kid myself that if the cops come along and see us beating each other up, we're probably both going to get arrested. And it's up to me to prove that I got punched first. But this idea that there's such a thing as knuckle justice, it's utter sophistry on the part of an attorney. It's basically an attorney doing their job, and that is coming up with any story they can think of to try and defend their client and convince a jury that something that has gone on has not gone on. What I'm struck by is the irony of the argument that because both these are members of groups, apparently the victim in this case is not of African-American descent, while the perpetrators are. So one of the attorneys is attempting to make the case, makes the claim that, of course, racial epithets were used, and therefore the women were provoked into the attack. Okay, here we go again. Now we're using a hate crimes defense for a hate crimes crime.
Mm-hmm.
This is pointing out the utter absurdity of attempting to prosecute it on that basis. Look, if someone calls me some name, I'm of German origin. If somebody calls me a crowd or, you know, something like that, I really just don't get all that worked up about it. In fact, I usually laugh about it because, no, I was born in Kansas, folks. You know, my name may be German, but my family hasn't been in Germany for about 5 or 6 generations, so I'm really not that all that worried about it. This thing about being justified in pummeling someone with their fists because someone else has said something nasty about their race. Sorry, that's vigilante justice. That does not work.
No, it does not. But Chuck, you see, that's the whole thing, because, like I said, now this shoe or boot is on the other foot, because we know that from looking at the data and statistics, gay and lesbians have the largest and fastest growing percentage of what we call domestic violence in their relationships. Well, if you could now say that somebody beat somebody else up because of their sexual orientation, what if they're in a domestic relationship and you have a domestic violence assault? Can they also be charged with a hate crime because they knew that the other person was homosexual?
Oh, boy. Wow. See,
it goes on and on.
Now, I hate to tell you this. We are out of time. So,
I figured we would be.
But we're going to leave this with people to contemplate, because they need to think about what we've just gone through, especially in light of some of the logical fallacy teaching I did last Saturday.
Yeah.
So if you missed that, go. We'll have it posted here pretty soon, and you should go back and listen to that and think about what you're hearing today in those terms. So be with us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.